You are listening to the Young Black Travelers Podcast, Black voices conversing on experiential travel, dedicated to creating a global community of travelers. Be bold, be inspired, be spontaneous. We are YBT.
Listeners, welcome to another episode of the Young Black Travelers Podcast. My name is Asher Cunningham, and I am the founder of Young Black Travelers. And today, you know, I mean, I say this all the time in our podcast episode. We usually invite guests from around the world, you know, Black faces who are traveling, who are living abroad, living in different places, or just traveling to those places. And I think today we have someone special. I think, you know, someone from the motherland. As I've said time and time again, we really want to connect a lot more to that region of the world, because I know many of our listeners in America have a lot of questions. And we have a special guest joining us today from Pretoria, South Africa. And I'm going to pass the mic over to him to have him introduce himself. The mic is yours.
Hi, listeners. My name is Javenchi K, and I'm live from Pretoria, South Africa.
Javenchi is joining us live from South Africa. So for those of you who you're probably just listening to us, just know these videos are going to be published a little bit later on our YouTube channel. We're starting this new thing, and now we're having videos that are going to be up. So you'll see the background. You know, the man has, I see some skyscrapers or just a scenery behind you. It's a little bit dark behind him, but he's outside sitting in South Africa. It is 2 p.m. in New York, and it is what time there in South Africa?
It's 15 minutes past 9.
So we have that little time difference. So the nighttime there, while it is the afternoon here in New York. That's cool. But Javenchi, where are you from originally? Because I know you're not from South Africa. Because, by the way, I follow Javenchi. He is a content creator, and he'll tell you a little bit more about himself. But where are you from originally? Tell us a little bit about your country.
Okay. So I'm originally born and raised in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, which is in the eastern part of Africa, next to Kenya and Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi. Mm-hmm. So born and raised there, lived my whole life there. Moved in South Africa like 6 years ago. Moved in here for university, and strangely, I've never left.
Wow. Okay. So you, Listen. Born in Tanzania. And okay, I'm going to put a pin right there, because do you guys, you say Tanzania, not Tanzania.
So the problem with that is that I feel like I myself don't know what's the right word now. Because I feel like when I talk to people, they expect me to say the right Tanzania. And I'm like, it's Tanzania. And they'll be like, it's Tanzania. And I'm like, okay, at this point, I don't know what it is. But trust me, if you write it, it's the right way. Tanzania.
No, listen. I think your way is the right way. The right way is Tanzania. So if you've noticed on YBT, we are respectful of people's cultures and traditions. And so we've started, I think when I had my podcast episode out from my trip to Tanzania, it was a thing that we started to say Tanzania. So we're retraining our mind to say the right way, Tanzania, because, you know, I think it was Turkey that just changed their name. And Turkey is very clear what they would like to be called. And I think a lot of times Black nation and Black people, like, we second guess what is right or wrong.
Yeah.
And most, what I found when I got there, most of people in Tanzania, Kenya, West Africans say Tanzania. Diamond, yeah. Platinum, I'm a fan of Diamond. Diamond says Tanzania. What's your favorite song?
From him. I have to think for a second, because I've been going off and on from him. I have other Tanzanian artists that I think are top of my list at the moment, but I think he's a great musician, he's a great artist.
He is. He definitely is. Wow. So, okay, you were born in Tanzania, and now you live in South Africa, and you moved to South Africa after studying. So I guess what probably are the major differences that you've probably noticed in between maybe Tanzania and South Africa currently?
I think there's quite a lot, just like in cultural ways. But I would say generally, I feel like Tanzania is quite conservative compared to South Africa. I feel like South Africa is more liberal and it's more, I wouldn't want to say Western. I think that's not politically correct, but it's more, it has more exposure and it's more open-minded and it's less conservative compared to Tanzania.
Wow. I would say, you know, when I went to Dar es Salaam and Zanzibar, you know, it was quite interesting to me in many ways, right? I think one of the things that my friends and I observed from Dar es Salaam was there's a mix. There's a big mix of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, New York also have a huge mix. And I think for us, that was like, wow, refreshing to see that here is a country in Africa where you're seeing, you know, maybe lighter skinned people, dark skinned people, Muslim, Christian. Well, in our minds, how we are seeing them, right?
Yeah.
And it was just really interesting. But then you get to Zanzibar and very Muslim country, right? And, and even in that, I didn't feel any way. I literally felt good. I was like, wow, I love this. I actually loved to be around it, right? I didn't feel, you know, I think sometimes people would think, you know, because it's a completely Muslim, well, majority Muslim country, you may feel a little bit out and off, but I didn't. I loved it, actually. So,
yeah. And I also feel like that's the thing with traveling. When you're going to a different country, you don't expect people to live and behave how you're from. So it's like if you're from America, you wouldn't want, I mean, like the standards of living and behaviors, pattern and characters of people in the US shouldn't be the same with Zanzibar. They have their own culture. They have their own ways of living. So I feel like when people, when you travel to these places, it's good to observe these things, but then be mindful and respectful to, you know, what you can do, what you can't do based on, you know, the people that you're traveling to and how they live and stuff.
Wow, that is definitely true. And where would you say your love for travel began?
So my love for travel actually began in South Africa. Maybe that's why I'm not leaving.
Wow.
But before until high school, I had not get the opportunity or chance to travel. Like I've never had the, if it's never a thing, maybe from my family and to most majority of people in Tanzania to travel for leisure. Like people would travel to go to another state for a funeral or a wedding, but not to travel to explore. Mm-hmm. So when I moved into South Africa, I was studying university in 2018. In 2017, I got the chance to visit a place called Mpumalanga. It's 3 hours, 4 hours from Johannesburg and Pretoria.
Okay.
So it's like a very beautiful mountainous area. And it was my first time to travel for leisure, like travel to explore, just travel to see. I didn't know anybody there. It's not like I was going to a wedding or to a funeral in a way things I used to in Tanzania. So when I saw that for the first time and I experienced that, that's actually when I even started my content creation journey. And I was like, I think it's important for people to show this a lot and to pass this culture or this habit. For me, it was quite relatively new to other people because it was just a new world to me in a way, I could say. Like just to be able to travel for leisure. And then from at that point, the travel content that I consumed was from celebrities, you know, the likes of Diamond. So when Diamond travels, he goes to visit, he flies business class, goes to Dubai, you know, it's all about the glam and stuff. But when I experienced like just mountains in the continent, nature, and it was just so beautiful. And I think from then I just was like, I think I should make this a thing and I should inspire more people to do it as well.
Wow, wow. Listen, John, you just said something there that I actually want to dive in a little deeper on. I know we haven't got to the main conversation yet, but you said you, the people you used to follow first, obviously most people, they get their inspiration from celebrities. They get their inspiration from maybe now influencers who are also not normal, the normal people. And do you think that when people see the likes of celebrity type travel, or maybe influencers who are traveling business class, and we're not going against that, right? Like, I mean, this is great, you know, when we get to that level, enjoy it. But do you think that it probably leave a stain and make people think that it traveling may not be attainable?
I think it does, but I feel like now the community, as people who are consuming this, this content, I think we're so much entitled into these people's lives in a way, like, I mean, influencers, exactly. We're not against them flying business class, saying there's 5-star hotels, it's an opportunity. I would take it if I got it. You take it. Everybody would. Yeah. But they're doing what they're doing at their pace. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't, it's not like they're not our parents, you know, in a way, like it shouldn't dictate. It has influence in a, like, it does have influence to a certain point, but us as normal people who consume information, we should also be able to take a step back and say, okay, this person is doing this. This person at 22, you know, there's this unrealistic things on social media now. And I feel like travel is also one of those industries that plays a huge role. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to also take a step back and say, yes, this influencer did this, but in 100 people, you know, how many of these people are living this life? How many people can afford this at a certain amount of age? And we should also understand, which I feel like with social media now, we have variety of content. Mm-hmm. I myself, sometimes I consume so much content, even in the travel space, I consume so much content from people. It gives me so much pressure in a way. Mm. You know, I'm just like, am I traveling the right way? Is this the right way to travel? Should I wait for me to travel in a certain style and stuff? But I take a step back, and we should all remember we are all on our own lanes, own pace. Everybody started from somewhere. I'm sure if that influencer who is now traveling business class was at one point backpacking, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we notice these big things because it's easy for us to feel bad or make, I feel like it's a thing now. I feel like generally we, human beings, like being victims of reason. So it's like when with that, you see it in a way that it makes you victimize yourself or feel bad about yourself compared to just seeing it like you've never traveled before. Why on earth do you think your first trip you wanted to be a first class? I mean, it's okay to want things, but it's just like you have never.
And you're 22 years old, 18.
Yeah, exactly. Like you haven't even left your state. You haven't even left a certain region. But now all of a sudden, you want to fly first class to Maldives. Just make it make sense.
Make it make sense.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Wow.
So I'm acknowledging that celebrities and influencers have a role they play, but they can only do so much.
Wow.
We also, as a person, we should also be able to dictate our life and how we consume content. It's a big problem.
Wow. Great response. I mean, hopefully all of our listeners definitely listen to this advice, because I think that is rich advice to lead you into how you can actually get some of your trips started. And before we go to break, I would like to ask you, John, what do you miss most about home?
I miss food. I think the food is quite different from the food in South Africa and the one in Tanzania. I mean, the street food there, I feel like it's more, because, you know, like, as I said here, it's also more advanced. So it's like more franchise, like KFC and stuff. I think those are more accessible fast foods compared to Tanzania, when we do have KFCs and the like, but there's more street fast food that are rooted within the country. So I think I miss most that. I would say my family, but I mean, there's Instagram. I can see them. We can FaceTime.
So that's FaceTime all the time, right? That is true. I mean, I'll say this. I agree with you. The food in Tanzania is amazing, delicious. Oh my God. I just remember, and you know, there's just a variety of food.
Exactly.
A variety, because what I've recognized, and we've talked about this when I talk about the diversity of Tanzania, Zanzibar, is more so around that Dar es Salaam region, you know, Zanzibar. And you actually notice it once you drive into Kenya, into Tanzania. Because yeah. I came from Kenya to, I drove from Kenya to Tanzania. And you just started noticing like the curries and just these different flavors. I'm like, wow, it just shows you instantly, yeah. even in the mountainous region, the diversity in food. So that is yeah. definitely true. Wow. So guys, we are going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with our guest, Javinci, who is joining us all the way from South Africa, Pretoria, correct?
Yes, Pretoria.
Pretoria. I think that's the capital of South Africa, right?
Yeah.
Pretoria, yeah. South Africa. So stay tuned as we continue this conversation. Welcome back. Welcome back again. We have Javinci joining us from Pretoria, South Africa, and we're getting into the main conversation. You know, as I've said before, we want to just get our listeners to think a lot more about going to Africa, the continent, and many different countries in Africa. And, you know, these conversations are going to help you probably think about maybe places you may want to visit, how you're going to get there, and all of that. But, you know, interestingly, so I obviously now I have a YouTube channel. Now I'm more serious about it. I'm not a big YouTuber like our friend here is, but initially, so I started to, our friend right in front of me. When I started, I'm not sure how I got into content from Africa, but maybe I'm just naturally interested about the motherland. Maybe because I know that's where my people come from, our people from this side of the world, our descendants of the motherland. So maybe I've just naturally been trying to get more content from Africa. Again, I just want to learn more about the motherland. And when I made my first trip to Africa last year, it was probably one of the most prideful moments in my life, right? So I literally found about John Javinci by watching a content creator who I, you know, just used to follow. I think I used to follow him when he was in China, and he probably did a video in South Africa because I think that's where you guys did that video. Wudumayo.
Yeah.
Did I say yeah. that? Wudumayo.
Wudumayo.
Wudumayo. And so he and Wudumayo did a video in South Africa. So I want to know, like, how did that connection come about? Like, what was, like, how was that probably a significant moment? Was it a significant moment for you? Like, tell us a little bit about it.
So it's actually interesting. Actually, this is very interesting because when Wudumayo started creating content about the African continent, I was already creating content about the African continent. And he was technically a fan. He was a fan. He mentioned it himself. So he was a fan of my content. And he consumed my content. He was already big though, but mm-hmm. popular for making his videos in China. So when yeah. he started making videos in Africa, he reached out instantly to me. I think he DM'd me or emailed me or something. And was like, hey, I really like your content. I like what you're doing, just to appreciate me. And then when he was coming to South Africa, he also texted me. He was like, I'm coming to South Africa, would be nice. And then by that time he was already like very big now within the continent. So yeah. it was like, yeah, I would like us to meet and stuff. And yeah, so we met and it was a big thing. It was a good highlight because I also feel like the collaboration was also highly, because you know, when you meet with big YouTubers, there's that thing. For me, I'm very cautious. I'm like, do they think I'm using them? You know, that thing's like, do they think, is it genuine? But he was the one who was like, pushing me to make a content. He's very, I think for people who have met him or people who will be able to meet him in the future, they would understand what perspective he's from. But he's very into African content creators and pushing yeah. them. and wanting everybody to be at the top. Like, he's not one of those people who get keep information or trying to, you know, want to be the biggest. I think he would love everybody to be big, and, you know, we could have more admirers and more people on the scale that he is. So he will tell me, like, please release a video, because when you release a video today, I'm going to be able to share it and people are going to come, my followers. He told people to subscribe to my channel. And I think, again, like 2,000 followers just for that interaction. And I was just like, oh, this is nice.
Wow.
But yeah, so it was nice.
No, yeah, I mean, I followed that entire journey. I loved it. I mean, I've always been interested in South Africa. I've always been interested in the motherland. And I certainly know that through that collaboration, a lot more information came out about South Africa, information that just generally interested a lot of viewers like myself. I know we're about to get into the next question, but why do you think it is important for African content creators to probably be magnified?
I feel like as an African continent, we have been portrayed a certain way with Western media for a very long time. So I feel like our voices matter. And I feel like if there's any time, this is the right time for us to say our own stories in the way we want them to be told. So I feel like if there's a way for us, because I mean, you know, the Western media says, says positive things, but majority very questionable things about African continent. So we cannot only just stay there and say like, but that's not true. We need to say our truth. What is true? What is true about the African continent? What is this African continent we are talking about? And what is the African continent we want people to talk about and see? So I think it's very important to show, say, sing it, write it in our own words, in our own way, so that the world can see Africa for what it is from our perspective. So I think it's very important.
No, wow, that is powerful, and that is certainly true. You know, and you're going to hear this in the podcast with Kelly. We talked a lot about, you know, the Black representation and maybe the American voice as it relates to experiences, Black experiences. But I would say, you know, when I moved to the U.S. about 20 years ago, it's probably been a little bit over 20 years now. At that time, I remember, you know, the image and the portrayal of Africa, or even Black people. It wasn't even Africa sometimes, because if you were Haitian, there was an image about you. Or they always used to talk about you came on the boat. Now, I mean, Jesus, it seems like Africa is this place. It's the spot. Africa, you know, Afrobeats is there. People now talk about South Africa and all of these places. People are very much more interested in. And that's why, you know, again, we're doing this conversation. I think that's why you also said you talk, your stories help actually amplify the real image of Africa. Yeah. And so that is pretty important. So in that statement, you've obviously traveled now to how many countries on the motherland?
I've traveled to 7 countries.
Seven countries, wow. And what are they?
Oh, I've been to Mozambique. I've been to Lesotho. I've been to Swaziland. I've been to Namibia. I've been to Tanzania and South Africa included. And there's one other. It'll come back to me.
Wow, listen. So again, go to his page on YouTube.
Kenya. How did I forget Kenya?
Right next to you guys, right? Listen, you can't forget Kenya. By the way, do you speak Swahili?
Fluently.
Oh, okay. So,
Just so you know, Tanzanian's Kiswahili is better than the Kenyan's Kiswahili.
Listen, I heard that in Kenya. And let me say this. Oh my God. So here's an interesting story, right? When I went to Kenya, Tanzania for the first time last year, that's 2022, and I went on a safari, a lot of things just became real to me when I went to East Africa. I'd been hearing the word, well, I've been hearing the phrase Hakuna Matata for quite some time. Obviously, it's on Timon and Pumbaa. I loved Timon and Pumbaa, and I thought it was just a phrase Disney's using. But apparently, I mean, in Swahili, it means no worries. And it was so beautiful, right? But I would also say what I got from like my experience there, Kiswahili is very beautiful. And I felt it was kind of romantic in a sense.
Yeah.
I kind of ascribed it to like French.
And true.
Yes. It was just so like, and I don't want to sound like, don't take this in any way for our, to our listeners who are in other parts of Africa who may, like this may qualify too. But, you know, generally, you know, in New York, we know a lot of my friends are from a particular country in Africa, in West Africa. What I generally hear them speak, it is, you know, it could be a little bit rough, you know, sometimes.
It's quite aggressive. I'm not sure that's political.
Yes, very aggressive. And so I don't know if I had ever, like, wanted to, like, speak the language because of what I'd heard. But then when I went to Tanzania and I'm hearing the Tanzanians and the Kenyans speaking, I'm like, oh, my God, this is just, like, so nice. Like, I very just feel slow. Good. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So we're going to get you to talk something a little bit later on. So listen, if y'all have, I actually grew my interest of learning Kiswahili after going to those countries, but that's a whole other topic. So you've traveled to Mozambique.
Yeah.
A country that is honestly on my list. Tell us about Mozambique. What did you love about Mozambique? Yeah, just tell us about your experience there.
I think it was very, I've been there last year, September was my second time. I was there maybe 2 years ago or 3 years before that. And I absolutely love it because, you know, originally I'm from Tanzania and we have the beach, Dar es Salaam, beautiful beaches. So I feel like Mozambique is one of those places very close to, from South Africa. And it gives that feel of Tanzania, the beach. And yeah, so I really feel like Mozambique relates very much to Dar es Salaam in a way.
And so you think it has a closer affiliation to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, but do you think it has any associate? How does South Africa compare or differ to Mozambique?
I think it has less similarities than the differences. I could be wrong, but just based on my observations, I feel it's a little bit different because also they speak Portuguese, which is also, I feel like it's a whole thing by its own. There's like that Portuguese culture infused a bit in Mozambique people. So I think that's different. But also just the way, just even like the look and the city and the people, I think they're quite different. Or maybe a bit different from South African. I think they're more laid back. They're more, especially like my comparison based on Pretoria and Johannesburg, where it's like people are busy chasing the bills. I feel like people, they're a little bit relaxed. Like life is not the best, but we're not going to be going up and down, up and down. We're going to take it slow. Yeah.
Okay. And so you say they speak Portuguese. So is it majority Portuguese or is there a dialect that some people may also speak?
I think they have that. And then they have their own native language based on where you're from, if you're coming from the north or the south. But majority of people speak Portuguese.
And how was that for you? Because I would say, so this is like the context of my question, right? So this year, 2023, so I'm not sure when you're going to listen to this episode, but I went to Brazil, and I'm going to say to you, Brazil, I loved Brazil, but the language for me was, I think, one of the biggest shocks. And I don't know why that was something like, I went to Kenya, Tanzania, and felt like I got along well, right? Maybe I didn't. I expected that, but I don't know if maybe I expected that Portuguese had some similarities to Spanish and I should be able to somehow get along, and it just didn't. And that was just the whole thing. How was probably communicated for you to a people who spoke majority Portuguese?
Interesting. I would say interesting because, you know, you always have this, you're cautious of when you're going to a country where they speak a complete different language. But there's always that thing at the back of your head. It's like, but I know English. I can find my way through. But it's not as easy. The language thing is actually a thing.
Wow.
It's not the easiest, but most places, if you go to like restaurants, you are likely to get people who can speak English, you can order and stuff. But I feel like you miss to have just a normal interaction with people to a level that I usually prefer. Like I usually prefer to talk to the locals and just have normal conversations with them or interact with people. Like, for example, you go to a pub and stuff. So it's like you're missing those human interaction with the locals, which can be not a very good thing, because I'm a person who likes that.
Wow, you're right. And I think that's what I didn't like about Brazil. I didn't like that I was not able to have those human interactions, those human conversations easily. And listen, it's not fault of the people themselves. It's
not at all.
You know, it's like, I mean, we wish we would be able to learn the language as quickly to talk to them, but it just also shows our differences and, you know, how much we can grow as humans. Maybe innovation need to improve a whole lot quicker so we could easily communicate to people with different tongues. But it seems like within the Portuguese culture, like when they speak the Portuguese, man, they're speaking that Portuguese, because that's what I got
you
in Brazil.
You won't catch a phrase, literally. You won't even try to think what are they meaning, because it's,
Wow.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Okay. And then, so you've obviously traveled to Kenya. Have you been to some of the beach towns in Kenya, maybe Mombasa, Lamu, Dani?
Yeah, I was there I went to Lamu, then I took the train to Mombasa, spent 2 nights there, then I went to Diani for a few nights.
Okay, and wow. So which you said Diani is beautiful. So I guess which is your probably favorite destination in those beach towns?
It's hard to choose, but I'm just gonna give them like how I'm gonna weigh them. Mm-hmm. I feel like Lamu is very modest and secluded, and it's relaxed, it's slow. You won't find any parties happening there. It's like relaxed, and it's just like when you really want to relax, be by the beach, go on a dog cruise, just like relax basically. Mm-hmm. And then Diani and Mombasa, they have the beach, they have the feel, but Mombasa is like, it's like Nairobi in the coast. That's the best way to describe Mombasa. It's busy, people are moving, things are happening, the nightlife is wild, but you do have the beach, but you don't have the complete calmness that you'd get in Lamu. Diani, on the other hand, you do have the calmness, but you also have the nightlife and the busy, you know, just the busyness if you want for it. You can look for it, but it's not in your face. Like, the beach is on your face. It's calm. When you go back to your hotel, chances that you're going to be loud music or that are even non-existent. But really? There are clubs, there are bars. And yeah, so I feel like, I don't know, Lamu, relaxation. Mombasa,
Nairobi, and Diani. So Diani seems to be that middle, yeah, like it gives you a little of both.
Yeah.
Okay,
which is good.
Okay. So Diani sounds like a draw. Would you say the beaches are the same for all three of those beach towns, or which one may have the better beaches?
Diani, definitely Diani.
Oh, wow. Okay. So to our listeners, if you're trying to get best like beaches, then I guess Diani is the place you need to get to.
Yeah.
Okay. Good, good. That's helpful. That's really helpful. So next time I'm in that area, I guess I'm going to try to go to Diani. And I actually think one of my friends who were there over the summer, she also went to Diani. And I mean, the pictures were
beaches, they are beautiful, clear blue water. And
oh, my God.
The sand is white. No, it's a dream. Yeah, wow. Diani is beautiful.
But you know what? This is like, I think that's why we want to talk a lot more about Africa, because I'm telling you, outside of like a few years ago, the like the knowledge of associating Africa to beaches was non-existent. I would say in American media, I can't speak about British or South American media, but in the media in the United States, it hadn't been common for us to know that Africa has beaches. I think the first time I actually learned about beaches in Africa was when one of my friend who is a major photographer, I think they went to Seychelles or something along that line. And that's how I started to do the research and found out. I'm like, dang, these beaches are really nice. And then I think I did the research and recognized that East Africa has some amazing beaches, probably some of the best beaches in the world. West Africa may have, you know, some really rough waters, I'm recognizing. Yeah. But those differentiations have generally not been made in the American media. So that's why I love these conversations, because when you're saying like the beaches in Diani is a dream, to many people here, it's like, you're going to Africa for the beach? Yes.
Yeah.
They got beaches there and beautiful ones.
Beautiful ones, not just beaches. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so I know you recently went to another African nation. But before we get to that African country that you've gone to, tell us, what was the last African nation that you went to?
I was recently in Namibia. I was early February. Yeah.
Okay, you were
in March. Okay. This year's moving fast.
Yes. You're in Namibia. And so to get to Namibia, did you have to connect to any... Well, where were you going from, actually?
So I was coming from South Africa, Johannesburg. So I flew it to two-hour flight.
So it's but a two-hour
flight, yeah.
So it's a two-hour flight from Joburg.
Yeah, Joburg.
Okay. And so I guess tell us what did you like most about Namibia? What are some things you discovered? Just tell us about that country, because I think this is another one that I've seen a lot of videos, a lot of Instagram posts, TikToks. Now I think it's trending. Namibia is trending now. You know, I'm seeing those videos of like the ocean meeting the desert, like, and it's so beautiful. Just tell us about your experience.
It was actually beautiful. I really enjoyed the entire visit. I was there for 10 days. I visited like three different parts of the country. It's quite a big country, I must say. You need maybe 2 weeks to properly explore it at its best that you can, because it's quite a big country and things are quite like the national park is on the north, and then you have the desert and the coast at the south, east, southeast. I could be wrong around those lines. So it was so beautiful. And for me, the reason why I went to Namibia, I've always wanted going to Namibia for the most stupid reason alive. So basically,
what is that?
There was one day, there was this beer called Vinduk. It was introduced in Tanzania. I think they work hand in hand with Heineken. So by that time I wasn't drinking. So people would consider that beer like, it's like, you know, those drinks where you drink you white when you want to be pretentious. I'm not sure if these are the right words to use, but it's just one of those drinks when you want to think you're more than average type of drink or beer. So then I found that Windhoek is actually a capital city of Namibia. So in my head, the reason I was like, I hope one day I'm going to be able to drink Windhoek in Windhoek, like have the Windhoek lager in Windhoek. So that was one of the reasons by then. But later on, I mean, the reason why I really went, I think I'm not trying to make Africans not to visit other continents. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I feel like it's important to
speak your truth.
It's important to leave. It's important for Africans and just generally most people to visit the African continent. So in one of the popular destinations among Tanzanians, this is just based on my history, most people, the first country they travel to is Dubai. And amongst the building is also the desert. So for me, it was just like there's Dubai, but there's also Namibia. How about that? So it was just like to try to show people the alternatives of these destinations where they're one, paying so much money, but they're also going out of the continent while they could have these experiences maybe in the continent. Probably won't be the same, but, you know, just it's a chance to promote these African countries. So I really enjoyed Namibia very much.
Wow. Yo, you said so much there that I'm like, wow, there's a lot of gold in what you just said there. Because yeah. what I hear is, obviously, we need to support our own, one. But two, the thought just came, people obviously, and a lot of Americans go to Dubai as well. Europeans yeah. go to Dubai as well. I'm not sure how the desert, what is happening there, but is the tourism industry promoting it well, that people are not, would learn more about it? Because Harvard Dubai has caught its wave of travelers now. Is Namibia doing that as well? That was a lot and good stuff and great yeah. questions that I think we all need to ask and tackle. But what would you say, how cost effective would it be to travel to Namibia? Is it a cheaper country? Is it expensive? Tell us more.
So I usually say when it comes to budget, I feel like budget is subjective in a way. What you consider cheap to you could be more to another person. But I would say based on like a normal average traveler who wants to stay in and just a comfortable, nice double bed, I think the prices are quite fair. I think I would say it's quite an average country. It's not expensive. It can get expensive. They are very amazing, expensive lodges by the desert, but they are also accommodation that can cater to different budgets. So I would say, I'm a budget traveler, but I'm not an extremist budget traveler. Like I wouldn't go stay in a backpack. I would stay in just to cut down costs, but I wouldn't mind staying in a room that's just small and comfortable bed and that's it. So I think generally it's travel. You can travel within a good budget. You don't have to have so much. Yeah. Within your means. Yeah.
Good.
But that's also one thing I'm also trying to show people that, because there is, when Namibia, most people go there with group trips, which I don't have anything against that. Mm. But for me as an individual, I'm not sure. I mean, that might change in the future. But group trips can be, I don't know, it's just like you're traveling with new people. And as a content creator, it's so hard for me to travel with people because there's a time I need to get my picture right. I'm not going to leave these dunes until I get my picture right. And, you know, like what's a priority to me could not be a priority to them. And they'll be like, but it's just an Instagram picture. I get it for you. But for me, it's a portfolio I'm building. So it's like, it was important for me to travel as a solo traveler there and to show people that you can travel with that. Because Namibia is good to explore when you have a car, right? When you rent a car. But that could be quite expensive for a solo individual like myself. Because I think renting a car is like $700 per week. Maybe it's not a lot, but if you're one person, that's quite a strain to have $700 without even fuel in it. So
it was important for me to,
yeah. So I was just like, so I would use, I use shuttles. And so there are shuttles, which is like, I don't know, $15, taking you from one place to another. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, maybe that's a stretch. Maybe $30. Yeah, but $30 max for, you know, transporting one place to another, where another person would have rented a car and spent $700, but we're all going to the same destination. So gotcha. I'm trying to also show there's different options to this travel thing. Yeah.
And so you said the desert, well, the national park, the safari area, that is more probably to the north, and then more so to the south. So those pictures, those videos that we're seeing of people, you know, the ocean meets the desert. So that's more the southern area.
Yeah.
Because I would love to do that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. No, that's amazing.
And so how did you go there? Because I think I saw that in your video.
Yes. So the place that I was, is there's a road in between, But then there's a point that I didn't get to go because of time, but I guess that's the reason for me to go back. But mm-hmm. there's a place where you need to drive. It's usually operated by tours. It's maybe $70. It's like mm-hmm. a half day tour. So you go to the dunes, and there's a point where like the dunes meet the ocean, like straight.
$70.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yo, listen. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's listen. Linda, listen. You got, listen, it's $70. That is not expensive.
Not at all.
For an excursion where obviously you're getting this dream shot and dream views for $70. So, wow. Okay. So this is actually bringing a lot of perspective into just how traveling to Namibia looks like. And so would you say that now, okay, so you said it's 2 hours from South Africa because I was doing some research earlier, and obviously coming from the U.S. would probably be quite expensive. But maybe if we're trying to think about how we can do Namibia right for a traveler coming from the U.S. or the U.K. or even South America, whatever destinations in the world, it may make sense to go to South Africa first. Flights may be cheaper, because when I was also looking at flights from South Africa, those flights were literally about, I think, $100 to $200 max to get to Namibia. So that's what you would recommend?
Yes, I think for that, I would recommend that, unless if you want to do like a tour of the whole entire southern region where you want to do Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, you could do that. But I feel like if flying from Johannesburg is the best idea.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm sure, I haven't done research, but I think it's also the most, could be the most affordable option.
No, yeah, wow. I definitely compared to going there directly.
Direct, yeah.
So listen, it's, again, as travelers, we want to employ you to travel smart. And I think this is a smart way to definitely travel. And so I guess the last question for you in this segment would be, why should travelers think about traveling to the southern part of Africa?
So I would say...
Or East Africa.
Yeah. I would say I'll come back to a point that I made earlier on, just it will be very general to African continent. But if we just put it on South Africa and East Africa, I think East Africa has beautiful beaches, as diverse cultures. As you've seen the majority, like in Zanzibar, you can see how it's predominantly Muslims. When you go into the in Dar es Salaam, it's like 50-50, and just like the mix of that. But just like, I think the people, the food, and just the, because I'll go on and on to mention about the beautiful things about my country or Kenya has, and I don't think we'll end this podcast, but I'll just say, overall, it's important to travel Africa, and guys, come to Africa.
Wow, wow.
We have water and electricity and internet. You'll be fine.
listen, demystify the stereotypes, demystify them all. But yes, listeners, we are about to go to break. This was an amazing segment, amazing points that I'm hoping all of you would have learned something from this conversation. But when we come back from break, we are going to end this conversation like we do on all of our podcasts. So stay tuned as we get to the end of this conversation with our friend visiting our podcast from Pretoria, South Africa. So welcome back. Welcome back to the Young Black Travels podcast. Again, I had Javanchi joining us from Pretoria, South Africa. Javanchi is a YouTuber. He is an influencer. He has amazing content. So if you haven't followed him, go ahead and do that. And he'll leave his information for you at the end. He has basically given us a lot of information that I think for travelers who are interested in learning more about Africa and interested in traveling to Africa, I think the information that was dropped, the nuggets that were dropped on this podcast, should definitely help you decide on probably choosing a country where to go, Namibia. I mean, I've learned so much. I made $70-something for that safari that I think everybody's now seeing that Instagram, those Instagram posts on like the ocean meets the desert. Listen, let's see what this year brings. I don't know if I'm going to, maybe I don't fly to South Africa and head to Namibia, but so much we've gleaned from this conversation. But you know, what we usually do on all of our episodes of the Young Black Travels podcast, we literally try to shout out someone who, you know, can lend another perspective to this conversation, a follow of ours, someone who can help you decide on where you should go next, because they produce content, they have pictures, they're just you know, useful in this, our decision-making process. And on this podcast episode, we are going to shout out a friend of Givenchy, a colleague of his, and a fellow African content creator. And I mean, I'm looking at his page and I'm looking at these photos and I'm like, dang, these are some dope shots. It seems like he's a photographer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So his name is Fahad Fouad. It's Fahad, Fahad _ Fouad, Fuad. So go to his page, see his content. You're probably gonna get a lot of inspiration from his page. I mean, Africa is beautiful. Look, I mean, I'm looking at his page and I'm just in love with this. I need to get back to the motherland, and I need to get back
to
the motherland.
You have to.
I need to get
it's
back
a sign.
Soon. It is a sign. Listen, it is a sign. Actually, I'm getting back to the motherland in May of this year. I'll be going to Nigeria. I'll be going to Nigeria. So not the southern part, but to Nigeria and West Africa, right? But you know what? Listen, John, we usually play a game on our podcast. It's called This or That. And, you know, we want you to make a decision and stick to one answer.
No explanations.
You can give some explanations at the end after you have decided this or that. So, you know, because sometimes some of these are hard, you know, like I know when I've played it, it's like, man, how can I can't make a decision, or this is the reason why I made that decision. But let's go into it, right? So this or that. Tanzania or Kenya?
Tanzania. Tanzania, any day.
Oh, wow, I guess that's easy, right?
I do love my Kenyan neighbors, but home is home.
Home is so where Tanzania. The heart is. And that was easy. Good. So this or that, Namibia or South Africa?
Interesting. I'm gonna go with South Africa.
Why?
I think it's just the diversity I think that South Africa can provide. You know, you have the Cape Town, you have the mountain and the beaches, and then you have the wildlife, and you have Joburg, where it's just like a nice artistic nightlife, street lifestyle, and then you have Sandton, the big skyscrapers giving you, you know, big city vibes. So I feel like the country is very diverse, and we actually have the Kalahari part, which also has, you know, a bit of the desert. So it's interesting. I feel like you have so many options. Namibia is beautiful with it. I mean, you can't compare them because they're all beauty in their own ways. But if a gun was pointed, South Africa any day.
Okay. All right. So South Africa, the rainbow nation. And so I guess the last one, Mozambique or Namibia?
I'm going to say Namibia.
Okay. Why?
The only Portuguese word I can say is obrigado, and I'm not even sure that's correct.
Yes. That is, listen, the word I've learned this year to obrigado. And it's probably the only one I would have known too for the week that I was
thank
in.
You. Oh, hi.
Thank you.
Okay.
How do you even say hi in Portuguese?
I don't know, just wave.
Listen, I guess the language made you chose Namibia. And that goes back to my initial point, right, when I said, I tell you, that Portuguese is difficult. It is, it just makes things a lot harder. So,
just be prepared. There's also another language thing. Another time, this is not a country in Africa. I visited France last summer. I was in Paris. And I never knew like a language barrier could be such a thing. So I'd rented these scooters or bike and stuff. I already paid, but now I can't navigate to take it out. And I'm calling at the call center. They have like a call help customer care. And everybody's speaking French. And I'm trying to create, now I'm frustrated because they took my money. All I want is the bike to come out and nobody is able to speak English. And I'm just like, I need only one person in this entire country to speak English so I can get this. Oh, that was so frustrating. No.
Listen, you guys, I hear you. You guys are learning from the travelers about the frustration of not being able to speak the mother tongue of that nation. It is quite complicated and annoying. I think I had that frustration in Brazil when I'm trying to check into the Airbnb. The host speaks, listen, there's nothing wrong with this, but she speaks Portuguese. And so the people at the front door speak Portuguese. There's no English and the door is a gated door. And I'm trying to get in. I don't even know what to communicate, how to say, ask how quick can I get in. I don't know how I figured it out at the end, but somehow we figured it out and we got in. But yeah, language can be a big barrier, you know. And there's some, I think, some places where it's easier to get by. Because for whatever reason, it's easier. But this is good. This is good. So I guess the last question for you is, you've traveled now to a few places and even outside of Africa. So I'll open it up to the countries that you've even traveled to outside of Africa. And so what would you say is one of the fondest memories that you would have had to date in your adventures?
So I would say the first one would be just the first time when I started traveling and when I went to Mpumalanga here in South Africa. But I say the most recent one was when I went to Kenya. Because, you know, in Tanzania and Kenya, we have this feud. Not anything aggressive, but it's just one of those things. Is Nigerian jollof rice better than Ghanaian jollof rice? So we always have those things like Tanzanians or Kenyans are better than this. But then I feel like there's a big misconception amongst Tanzanians that Kenyans are very aggressive. So when I visited, and it was just so beautiful to see, like, it's not that deep. I don't know, it was just like, for me, it was just like unlearning some of the things I had in mind about Kenyans and Kenya as a country. So I think that was beautiful. It was just like, wow, travel is about unlearning and learning so many things in these different places. And yeah, so it was interesting.
Wow. And so you hadn't been to Kenya outside of the last time you'd gone?
Yeah, it was my first time.
Wow. So I asked that to say, like, how often do you think Kenyans and Tanzanian, like, interact with each other? Do you think, like, a lot of people go back and forth or not?
So I think, like, because you came by road from Kenya, right?
From Nairobi to Arusha. Nairobi.
Yeah, so I think, like, the Nairobi and the Arusha people, they have a little bit of interaction, some exchange, trade, but people not from the border, I don't think there's any. I think most people in the country, I think they'll think, I mean, from up country, they wouldn't think of going to Nairobi. I think they would want to go to Dar es Salaam because, like, it's the big city, while Nairobi is just as well, but yeah.
Wow. And that statement alone just tells us how important traveling and interacting with different people is, because a lot of times when we do travel, we start recognizing, like, we've had some preconceived notions about other people and other things that maybe if we really interacted with them, a lot of things will change. So, I mean, we ask the question, what if maybe, hence why we do these podcasts and we want more Black people and more people to travel, because maybe traveling around the world could change a lot of the wars that we are seeing, because we probably don't understand each other, hence why we are fighting with each other and we're just hearing news that are traveling from one person to the next. And but we've never really gotten down into the nitty-gritty. What do you think about that?
True. I really feel like it's important, and I feel like just like traveling in general, just there's a way it really exposes your mind to just new ideas, new difference. Because, so for example, I'll just explain in a way, when I moved from Tanzania, my thing was that I wanted to just go out of the country. It didn't really, it mattered where, but I knew I just wanted exposure. And it's crazy because when a few days ago, early January, I was in Lesotho, a small country next to South Africa. And you would see the people there, their minds are closed in a way for them to make it in life is to be in Johannesburg, right? But then when you travel and come to Johannesburg, you're like, maybe this is not the end goal. I want to be in Japan, you know? And probably someone's going to be, I want to be in New York. It's just like, it just opens your mind to just so much possibilities that life can provide. And I think it's quite, and unlearning things. So that's what I'm saying. People should come to Africa. We have water, we have electricity, we have Wi-Fi. But you only know if you come.
If you come. But I would also say they also have power when the power goes off, because that happened in Zanzibar. Funniest story, go back to the podcast when Stella and Anthony and I were out there. Y'all were hearing that story because that was hilarious. So, but that shouldn't have deterred you from traveling there at all. You know, Javinci, I want to say thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Young Black Travelers Podcast. But before we go, can you or would you like to leave your socials for our listeners who may want to connect with you to reach out to you?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast. I thought it was going to be more nervous than this, but it went very well. And it was nice conversation we had. I think it's important to have this conversation amongst us Black people. And thank you for the platform that you gave me to do so. Please guys, follow me on all social media platforms. I'm literally everywhere. Javinci K on Instagram.
He's everywhere like the air.
YouTube, TikTok, literally everywhere. Where there's internet, there's some social media platform, I'm there. Javinci K on all social media platforms.
And that's great branding, right? The same name everywhere. So listen, if you want to reach out to Javinci, just connect with him on all social media platforms at Javinci K. And I'll tell you, I'm loving the man's YouTube videos. I am a subscriber. I love it. You know, now I think he has a drone, because now I'm seeing drone shots, you know, like, I'm like, okay, Javinci. step this game up, you know, you're seeing the progression in the videos. This is what life is like. So definitely go check him out on YouTube. I mean, great content, and he's representing Africa the way Africa should be represented.
Yeah.
So,
if there's anybody, people who are planning to come into Africa, I do have itineraries that I sell. I help people curate trips for places that I've been, because it's easier for me. So they can just reach out to me on the social media platforms.
Exactly. So listen, y'all are trying to get to Namibia? Reach out to the man.
I got you.
Get the itinerary, right? I'll probably be reaching out to you when I'm going to Namibia, because I need to know where I'm going to go to, right?
I'm jealous now you're going to Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the countries that I really want to go to Nigeria, but the way I want to experience Nigeria, I need to have a lot of money. Like, I understand. I want to be spraying.
You want to spray
Naira?
Well, let me tell you, I'm probably going to be spraying, because I'm going to a wedding. My best friend, one of my best female friends, she's getting married.
And we're
going to do a podcast on that. I mean, it was a dream to go to Nigeria, but let me also say this. I'm kind of annoyed right now with the process to get to Nigeria because I have to go get a visa and I have to leave my visa at the Nigerian embassy. And listen, as an American, I don't think I'm above anyone, but but you know, kind
of. Are you
like,
sure?
I really don't. But what I would say, based on my experiences over the last few years traveling, I have never left my passport with anyone to get a visa. Generally, it is.
Yeah.
I apply on, if I'm like, when I came to Kenya and Tanzania, I had to just pay online. It was a simple process, easy process. But Nigeria, I have to do it. So that's my little annoyance right there.
I really think, I'm not sure, maybe the Nigerians are just trying to pay back since most people are giving restrictions. So just
I think that's what it is. That's what it is.
But I wouldn't think Americans would need a visa, to be honest, to go to Nigeria.
Listen, we need a visa and we need to show that we have over $1,000 in our bank account. Let that make sense.
We need to know if you can afford to live in Nigeria. That's all.
I'm going to leave America and go stay in Nigeria. But you know what? It is what it is. Let Nigeria do whatever they want to do. But I need to get that visa process. It's been so difficult that I have kind of been delayed even thinking about it. And I need to stop doing that because I could get myself caught up at the end not getting my visa. So I need to go apply like ASAP so I can get this visa and be okay. Pictures will be there, videos will be there, Javanchi, you know.
We'll be watching. One day, I'm also going to go
to Nigeria. Wow, that's a whole other conversation because I can't see how Nigeria could be a GB right in Africa.
Yeah.
Is it expensive to get there?
Yeah, quite so, because I don't think there are very much, many flights, I mean, coming from South Africa. I don't think there's a direct flight or so. And also traveling within like Africa is quite expensive. It's quite a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They need to get their shit right. But
Great point. Listen, we need to be having conversations with these the tourism boards, the heads of governments, because that shouldn't be a thing, right? Travel should not be complicated within Africa. And by the way, last point before we go, one of the books that I've read where that was one of the points in the book was Dead Aid by Zambisa Mayo. And I mean, that book just basically touched on a lot of the issues that Africa is facing, particularly around aid. Probably one of the best books that I've read so far.
Yeah.
So if you haven't read that book and you probably want to read, go read that book. It talks about the connectivity of the continent and why it's a problem and, you know, how the governments need to work to fix that issue. But anyway, Javinci, I want to thank you for your time. This was an amazing conversation. We've learned a lot. You know, hopefully we'll have you back to talk about other countries, and hopefully we will connect either in the motherland or when you get here to the U.S. Maybe in Nigeria we'll connect.
Sure.
Because you're probably going to take a flight, you know? So listen, this was great. But before we go, I want to remind our listeners that the Young Black Travels podcast is a listener-supported podcast. So feel free to go to anchor.fm/youngblacktravelers and you can leave a contribution to the Young Black Travels podcast there. Also, feel free to follow us on all of our socials, just like you're going to follow Javinci. Follow us on Young Black Travelers on Facebook, Young Black Travelers blog on Instagram, YBT blog on Twitter. And you can simply go to our website, youngblacktravelers.com, where you can get all of our podcasts. And honestly, our podcast episodes on our website have a lot more information, videos, pictures, and you can also listen to podcasts there as well. And we want to remind you to continue to be mindful travelers. Continue to keep sanitary practices when you're traveling. You know, COVID is a thing of the, it's not quite a thing of the past, but if we want to keep viruses like COVID at bay, we want to let you know that you keep the practices that we've learned throughout that pandemic, hand washing, covering your mouth, all of these things, and be mindful in your travels so we can continue to explore our world for eternity. So it's goodbye for now. I'm Asher Cunningham and Javinci. Thank you again for joining us. Take care.